College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3,
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Wednesday, March 13th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube. As we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210 is how you jump in. On social media at 1210 WPHT, I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Dawn Stensland with the news. Greg Stocker, the chairman of the board. Bill Lomquist, Anthony DiRenzo, our associate producers. Tony Bruno coming up at 8:30 this morning, live from Florida. Dawn, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday to you indeed, Gregory.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
How was that sunshine and 67-degree weather yesterday for you?
Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Oh, was it glorious?
Yeah.
Spring is almost here.
I had to have like 6 trees taken down in my backyard because one of them, from all the wind the other day, kind of snapped in half.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, while you're here,
just mow everything down.
Might as well take it, yeah. So
did Dawn come over with her chainsaw and just take them down?
She didn't. She didn't.
We got a lot of good things lined up today. We will make sense of everything that happened yesterday as her was on the Hill. Also, following the State of the Union, no bump for Biden in the latest polling numbers. So that presentation, that performance, apparently all for nothing. And also, RFK Jr., the long shot. He's contemplating some options for vice president.
We live in idiocracy.
This is unbelievable.
Mike Judge was a genius when he made that movie 20 years ago.
Stocker might have been right all along when he said politics is wrestling.
Yep.
Literally.
It really is.
And we'll tell you what we're talking about coming up in a little bit. Also, last night was the 4-year anniversary of sports being shut down for the COVID-19 pandemic. If you recall, March 12th, 2020, the day everything hit the fan. We'll get to that. We've also got some stories with social media swapping. Could be some mergers, some flipping of assets, some transactions. We'll get to that. Big day on the Capitol today for TikTok with the House. And also, did you know that your car is spying on you? Yeah. And they're reporting that information to your insurance company. We'll get to that as we continue. Tony Bruno at 8:30, cut sheet at 7:45. But let's get to the news, because there's a lot of it. And she was texting us the news last night. Every time I looked out at my phone, I saw a text from Dawn Stensland. I'm like, the hell's going on here? Let me click on this.
What you're going to realize about Dawn, Nick, is that she'll go dark for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she discovers texting and social media, she's like, doom, 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 doom.
It was like
doom.
The 4th of July.
What is happening?
I was like, okay. Fireworks. Right, fireworks good. Everywhere.
Good.
Let's get to the details.
Including one from 2:50 this morning?
No.
I'm up early, my friend.
Oh, my Lord.
Up early or not asleep yet. There is a difference.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to love the forecast. Good morning, Kale and Company News Live. 46 degrees right now, and we are warming up to into the 70s today on this Wednesday, March 13th. And an ultimatum to this fourth suspect, as police say, in Philadelphia. They have, in fact, arrested that third suspect in connection to last week's school bus stop, SEPTA bus stop shooting that injured 8 students in Philadelphia's Brohm. section. So this is a 19-year-old this time. We told you yesterday two 18-year-olds were in custody. 19-year-old Jamal Carter was arrested yesterday afternoon at his family's home on the 12,000 block of Academy Road. He was arrested without any kind of incident. U.S. Marshals showing up, surrounding the home on the entire block. That video went viral. As far as Monday's situation that we told you about, just to update you on that one, those two 18-year-olds, Jamal Tucker and Anil Bugs, both suspects charged with multiple offenses, attempted murder, aggravated assault, weapons offenses, many other charges. They're being held. They're not getting out. They're being held on $2 million bail. But that brings us to the fourth suspect, identified as a 17-year-old, and he is being urged to come forward. In fact, U.S. Marshals reportedly talking to his father, talking to his family, saying, bring your son in. He's 17. He's a juvenile. He's wanted. Let's bring him in and not make this a situation where we have to go out and find him.
Are there more suspects out there, or is this just the fourth and final one?
Well, I think you're referring to the student who was killed, the 17-year-old Damon Taylor that we've talked about. He was a charter high school student. So that's a great question, Nick. Are these related? And there is word out there that they very well may be.
Okay.
So to your very point, this fourth suspect, once they get the fourth, so the 17-year-old into custody, and it's believed he's going to turn himself in today or this morning. So then they question them and figure out, get them talking. Were they involved in fact, that shooting that involved a different bus stop shooting and killed? In fact, that one was deadly. These eight and the Wednesday shooting, mm-hmm. So you're talking about Mondays, the Wednesday shooting, those eight students survived. We do have the 16-year-old boy does remain in very critical condition, appearing to be the target, shot nine times.
Okay.
The other seven, mostly boys, one girl, I believe, shot, though they're all still hospitalized, but stable condition. Mm-hmm. But it's a great question, and hopefully this morning we'll find out the answer to what you're saying. But I'm getting the feeling, Nick, that, in fact, they feel these are related.
Okay. All right.
Unfortunately, you know, tragically.
Yep.
In other news, a lot of other news today, but the rematch is on. It's official. Both Biden and Trump clinching their party's nominations. No big surprise after the voting yesterday and Georgia.
I will say this. Biden did clinch first.
Well, you want the comments coming in fast this morning, don't you?
He clinched first.
Trigger warning.
He did.
Trigger alert.
So this is why Dawn was up till 2:50. She was waiting for the Georgia results and these other states.
No, that's about what time I get up.
Okay.
That's when dog and the husband wake me up.
Gotcha.
And today I'll just headline this one. Will lawmakers on Capitol Hill vote to block TikTok? So TikTok block, that's the question. House lawmakers preparing to vote on this bill Wednesday. We've talked a lot about it. TikTok, by the way, encouraging users, call your representatives about this legislation. You don't want this. So trying to motivate those TikTok, you know, hundreds of millions of TikTok viewers and users to reach out to their legislator.
My daughter reached out to her local congressional officers last night.
What?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
They're nine.
I was going to say, wow.
They're nine.
I was going to say.
But they're always on TikTok.
We need to have a
where do they find out? If it does get banned, I'm going to have to do a lot of parenting. It's going to be a lot of emotional reaction. I'm going to have to console them, let them know there's still Snapchat and Instagram out there to get their fix.
It's not going to get banned. Everybody calm down.
I would agree.
I agree with Greg. In sports, we did have the Sixers losers at Knicks.
They got
lost.
Blown out. 79 points. I'm sorry, Don.
You know, you're right. 106-79.
Well, so they've played the Knicks in back-to-back games, and in both games they've scored 79 points.
If you noticed, Nick, during my FanDuel live reads yesterday, I purposely didn't give a score from last night's game because I was just going to, it's not even going to be close.
Yep.
So I'm not even going to touch it.
Yeah, just go down the board, find something else.
I might start betting on the Boston Celtics.
Oh, well, that would be a wise pick.
Flyers won 3-2. Yeah. And then we also have, I know we'll get a lot of Eagles news. We are, it's official, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is being brought back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Didn't he trash Philadelphia fans?
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, but now we're good enough to come back when they hand him the bag.
He's walking that back.
Of course he is. Because they offered him a 3-year deal, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Everything I said before was just...
I didn't mean it. Yeah. I was just, you know...
Mm-hmm. I was just messing with
Philadelphia. Are forgiving people as long as you win them a championship.
That's correct. And play hard.
Amen.
But at least they actually signed somebody on defense now, because everybody was losing their mind over, oh my God, all they're doing is signing offensive guys.
Who did you... I saw one of your tweets yesterday, Nick. You said you didn't like one of the signings. Which
was the receiver Devontae? They brought. Devontae Parker.
Parker, yeah.
Yeah. It's only like $1 million.
From New England,
from the
right?
Patriots. But he's been such a bust. He's always hurt. It's a low risk move, but still, I would rather spend that $1 million on, I don't know, a kicker.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker is going to overperform. He's going to work hard.
Don Stensland on the record this morning.
I'm defending Devontae. He's going to defy. Devontae will defy your prediction.
I hope you're
it's
right.
It's true. It'd be nice. And Saquon Barkley, you know, who got the bigger signing bonus? $26 million, $38 million deal. Was it Nick Hale or Saquon?
It's close. It depends on how you look at the taxes. We got to get a fine tooth comb.
Their taxes. This is good. This is rich. We've got our forecast real quick here because it's a beauty. So this week until Friday, we do see some sprinkles in the forecast, we'll say, but that's Friday evening. For the rest of the week, we are into the 70s. So 46 degrees right now, and it's warming up as I speak. The high today, 71 degrees. Tomorrow for your Thursday, 74 degrees. Just two beauties of a day, 20 degrees higher than the normal, by the way. And then Friday, the 15th, 67 degrees. We start out nice, but then some sprinkles, like I say, moving through. Saturday, and for the weekend, we cool down, the high just 60 degrees for both Saturday and Sunday. However, we do have sunny skies, so that's the good news. Good Wednesday morning, Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:11, let's get to another midweek big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it's brought to you by Budget Blinds. The Big Take, Robert Herr, bipartisan villain. Never a slow day on Capitol Hill, as Tuesday featured major revelations, hypocrisy, and astounding commentary and confrontation as Special Investigator Robert Herr was grilled by Democrats and Republicans alike over Joe Biden's classified documents case. Herr said in his opening statements, quote, "My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen," end quote. To what extent and how many instances are we talking about here? This is Republican Kelly Armstrong grilling Robert Herr over the frequency of Joe's illegal retention of classified documents. Listen and watch this.
Mr. Herr, classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
Seven different locations and multiple states. Joe Biden was dribbling documents all over creation, like Al Bundy's Dodge was leaking oil all over Chicago in Married with Children. In 2024, in a hyper-polarized political climate, it's incredibly difficult to be disliked by the Democrats and also the Republicans. But make no mistake about it, Robert Herr is. He and his staff have essentially arrived at the conclusion that Joe Biden is not competent enough to stand trial for what he did, but Democrats will tell you the big guy is sharp enough to serve another 4 years. Think about that. You can't stand trial, but you can serve another term. Democrats despise Herr because he confirmed what all of America knows. Joe is not mentally fit, which hurts his campaign and reelection efforts. Republicans loathe Herr because he's confirmed that Joe broke the law, he's out of it, but they're not going to charge him. More proof, I believe, of a two-tiered justice system. Biden gets off the hook based on age, despite having no right to retain. Meanwhile, Donald Trump will be facing trial. Joe Biden was caught in more lies on Tuesday. Here is Republican Matt Gaetz of Florida getting her to admit that Joe lied about all of this. Listen and watch.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right?
This is important, and here is why. Joe Biden made $8 million off of the publication and sale of his book. Biden shared classified information that he had no right to possess, and he gave it to the ghostwriter of his book, breaking the law and turning a profit, only to not face charges. That right there, folks, is privilege. Seems to me that there's a trend and a theme here with the Biden family turning a profit at the expense of other nations or this nation. We also learned yesterday from Robert Herr that the Biden administration and the White House made multiple attempts to Attorney General Merrick Garland and sent a letter seeking changes to the findings of the report. Make changes or remove material that would be damning to Joe's image of being clearly diminished in regards to his mental faculties. Where have we seen this before? The White House pressuring an outsider or a company not to run with damning evidence that hurts this administration? So is Joe exonerated? Here is Rep. Jayapal, Squad Dem, grilling her yesterday on Capitol Hill. Listen and watch.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Herr,
that
I'm going to continue
report,
with
that's
my
not
questions.
Part of my task as
I'm
going to
continue with my questions. I know that,
that
the term
that I ultimately reached
I know that
whether
the term,
sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
would be a conviction.
I know that
I did
the
not
term willful retention has a Mr. Herr, it's my time. Thank you.
Clown show indeed. Jonathan Turley, legal scholar, highlighted another interesting and also ironic revelation from yesterday's proceedings, saying, quote, in the competition of the ironic, Adam Schiff just won the gold medal in attacking her for reckless statements that he knew would create a political firestorm. Putting aside the relevance to Herr's analysis, Schiff is hardly the paragon of such restraint. Turley also went on to say in his legal analysis, quote, the transcripts are now released. President Biden claimed no knowledge of any of the classified documents in his home and open in his garage. That is 40 years of memory lapse in the face of open violations of federal law, end quote. Think about that. 4 decades of forgetfulness. That is what Joe Biden is trying to sell to the American public. I'd like to see any of us try that as a defense in a court of law. It wouldn't end well for you and I. Also on yesterday, in those transcripts that Turley mentioned, not only did Joe Biden forget the year his son died, he also said during his interview with Robert Herr that Beau was alive in 2017 or 2018 when he was at Penn. As we know, Beau died in 2015. Biden also, according to the transcript, doesn't know the year that Donald Trump was elected president. How is that possible? If we had not only an honest media, but a majority of citizens in this country actually paying attention, if they were informed and educated, there's absolutely no way that Joe Biden would get reelected. This presidency has been a fraudulent, forgetful facade, and he is clearly diminished at this point with his mental faculties. Oh, and by the way, inflation rose by 3.2% in February, as we found out that yesterday, which is higher than expected. How about them Bidenomics? Sadly, despite all the evidence hitting the American public directly in the face, it'll probably lead to nothing. Nothing in a court of law, and more importantly, the possibility of nothing coming to fruition this November at the ballots. Because as we know, the three of us on this show and this audience, we live this stuff. The rest of Americans have their head in the sand. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by Budget Blinds. Spring is coming, and now is the time to budget. By the way, spring just 8 days away officially. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business. Budgetblinds.com. We'll come back at thoughts and reactions to yesterday's spectacle on Capitol Hill. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in at 1210 WPHT on social media. And of course, the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Your thoughts as to what Mr. Herr had to say. Democrats and Republicans alike, both viewing this man as the villain. We're back after this on a Wednesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is putting the ball in your court for the rest of the NBA season. I said I think I'm kind of over the 76ers. I'm going to take the Brooklyn Nets tonight at Orlando +7. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets with any winning a $5 bet. That's $200 if your bet wins. You can bet on the NBA with a wide range of bet types, including quick bets, live same-game parlays, player props, and so much more. Go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg and make your first bet a layup. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA, and is the official partner of 1210 WPHT, so you know you're in good hands. 21 and over, President PA. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Well, I think that overall, the weight of the evidence in favor of charging was substantial. I think it explains why he had to emphasize the president's lack of memory and how he might appeal to a jury, because the evidence was not supportive of the president. I think that what was particularly damning in Herr's testimony is his constant reference to facts where the president acknowledged he knew he had classified evidence, that he did the same conduct going back 40 years. And it does leave you with this question of why he then gets this level of deference. But I think it leaves the other obvious question, and that is, why is the Department of Justice prosecuting Trump on the classification questions as opposed to the obstruction questions? That's what the Democrats kept on coming back to, but Trump obstructed. Well, yeah, I mean, you can prosecute on obstruction, but how you can reconcile these two cases, in one being prosecuted and the other not, I'm afraid is beyond me. The evidence seems very strong in terms of Joe Biden willfully retaining and, quite frankly, knowing that he did so.
Keywords there from Fox News legal scholar and analyst Jonathan Turley. Willingly and knowingly. Those are always key terms when somebody is accused of committing an alleged crime. Welcome back in. It's Kale and Company as we continue live here on this Wednesday morning. Nick, Dawn, and Greg here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app and, of course, watch us live on YouTube. Dawn Stensland, did you know that in the last three elections, three individuals have been identified for having classified documents in their possession? And that would include Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden. Now, let's just kind of go down the resumes, so to speak.
Wait, is this like door number one?
Yeah.
Door number two?
Yeah, just very, very entry-level facts. Two of them are Democrats. Neither were president, and neither had the right to retain said documents, because as we know, Joe was only the vice president and then retained him as a private citizen. Hillary Clinton was neither president nor vice president. But only one of those three that I mentioned is a Republican. And only one of them, in theory, on the surface, had the right to retain those documents. But here we are, and I don't think anybody is surprised by the double standard or the two-tier justice system.
I see it a little differently in the sense that I think in that what Robert Herr is telling us, because he was very specific even when Ding Ding is saying, oh, you exonerated him. And he's like, no, that's right. Not. I mean, he's a pretty buttoned down guy.
Yes.
And he's not some idiot or some schlub or anything of that nature. And so as I watch this, Nick Cale, I said to myself, I think what Robert Herr is really telling us is that especially at the level of now you're the president of the United States of America, these special prosecutors give you a whole lot of rope and give you a whole lot of deference. What he told me was that, in fact, it's not wrong for him to not file these charges against Biden. It was wrong to file the charges against Trump.
True.
Because even if somebody had, I mean, and look at Biden, he had stuff that was the big thing that we learned from the senators. They're like, how did he get that stuff as a senator? You know, did he put it like in his underwear? Because they're pretty strict about that.
Well, he took them allegedly, out of a skiff, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you have to hide it. You know, like you have to leave your phone behind. You have to leave all your stuff behind. There's security there. So
I would imagine it's more difficult than just sticking it in your briefcase, right?
Yeah. You know, I think you'd have to. Who went to jail? People have gone to jail for this, number mm-hmm. one, for yep. that. That were not presidents. And there was somebody who stuffed it in his sock or his pants. But my point is that I think that Robert Herr, what he's telling us is that, in fact, it's highly unusual that they went ahead and raided and charged Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people who are going to argue, well, they were negotiating with Trump and you know, maybe he irked them because he defied them.
Yeah.
He was saying, look, I'm a former president. We get to choose this stuff.
And he believes he's protected under the Presidential Records Act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just think all of these cases, to me personally, and just so you know at home, like, we read everything, and we look at the raw documents and any court records. So when I look at all of this, I just think to myself, they are looking for anything and everything. And so that's what I see, that Donald J. Trump, this was what they thought, aha, mm-hmm. we've got him on this. I really do. I think at the end of the day, because the argument is, well, he bragged to somebody or this or that and the other. Well, now we see that Biden was talking to he was getting an $8 million book deal. And right. So, you know, I just think that when you're a president, and think about in our nation's history, you know what I mean? We have 46 of these individuals
mm-hmm.
and they're very special to us. And so they get a whole lot of deference.
Yeah.
Except one.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, as I'm trying to sit here and process all of this, and I went back and I watched probably a good 45 minutes of just the raw footage of everything that transpired with her being under oath and being grilled by both Republicans and Democrats. And that's why I gave you a clip of each D and R in the big take. I'm almost wondering, and we're going to get to her here specifically and his resume and kind of what he's all about politically and his career specifically. But I'm almost at the point now where I think they're telling us two things. So it's the hypocrisy, and this is the scary part of it, if you're a Democrat and you're going to vote for Joe again come this November. So he's not competent enough to stand trial for what he allegedly did, but yet he's still competent enough to serve another 4 years in office. That's a scary thought, because if you can't get on a stand and defend yourself and face, you know, an adversarial setting in a courtroom, how are you going to run the country for another 4 years if, in fact, you're running the country for your first 4 years, which I don't think he's been doing anyway to begin with? That's number one. But I'm also thinking from a punishment standpoint, is the findings of HERS investigation on the concept of his poor memory, is that more punitive to Joe than actually putting him on trial for the actions of taking documents that he had no right to take? Because I think we all realize at the end of the day, criminally, he's never going to be punished. And even if it went to trial, they wouldn't find him guilty. It's not like he's going to go to jail or anything like that. So is the actual punishment smearing him? And I don't even know if smearing is the right word, because they're not lying. They're not doing anything deceitful. They're just confirming what all of us with a functional brain, eyes, and ears already know, that this guy is a punch drunk fighter out on his feet, and he's basically being held up by the ropes in the ring. Is that the ultimate punishment here? because we're talking about reelection efforts here. And is Joe just so diminished that, you know what, at the end of the day, no, that'll be your punishment, sir. This could be the nail in the coffin for your chance at another term. You know, the under the umbrella of public perception, we're gonna end you politically through the eyes of the public and expose you for the fact that you're basically, you know, an 80-year-old pop who should not be running the country. Is that the punishment here? I think you can maybe argue that, and I think certainly it takes a very interesting individual to trigger both Dems and Republicans. Politico had a very interesting column last night after what transpired on Capitol Hill yesterday, and the headline is, going after Robert Hur might be a huge mistake, not for Republicans, but for Democrats. And this columnist for Politico writes the following: It could backfire big time if they attack the special counsel's testimony on Capitol Hill. Believe it or not, Robert Hur was not always a political pariah among Democrats in Washington. As recent as 6 weeks ago, he was just a Republican lawyer and former federal prosecutor handling one of the Justice Department's least enviable assignments as the special counsel appointed to oversee Biden and his possession of classified documents. Politico goes on to say, then came his findings last month. The 345-page report concluded that there was insufficient evidence to bring criminal charges against Biden. But of more important note to the political class were the several references to Biden's poor memory. Republicans saw an obvious political opportunity and called her to testify before Congress Tuesday at a hearing on the report. Democrats should tread carefully as they question him. Put bluntly, going hard after her could be a huge mistake. Her is a potentially crucial witness in this hotly contested election year, and he does not have the resume to make him out to be a GOP activist or a MAGA devotee. He is also uniquely situated to inflict political damage on Biden if he wants to, and to do so in ways that are probably not apparent if you haven't read his report in full. In fact, poking at Hur's integrity could easily backfire if it prompts him to unleash more fully on Joe Biden. Here's what I take from that. He let Joe off the hook in some regard. Like, he told you, yes, he's out of it as an old man, and I'm using that in air quotes. He's an old guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's basically what he has said. It almost makes me feel like if Hur wants to dig deeper and be more, I don't know if vindictive is the right word, because I don't think he has a score to settle. But this, maybe Democrats are actually getting off super light here, because it could have been worse for the big guy. So I think they have to proceed with caution. And I'm not sure that Jayapal did that yesterday on the Capitol Hill.
You know who I want to hear from? Biden's ghostwriter.
Yeah.
Like, when is he going to be hauled in front of this committee to answer some questions? Because Hur alleged yesterday, when questioned by Jim Jordan, that the ghostwriter slid files that Biden shared with him into the recycling bin on his computer. Let's just play this.
Okay.
Let's play this if we can, Phil. This is cut six, my friend. If you can pull that up, I'd appreciate it. Cut six, go.
I think this is interesting, because here's the scary part. Page 200. I said this earlier in my opening statement. Page 200, Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Hur, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly what I'm referring to,
he slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycled bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Correct.
The very guy who was helping Joe Biden get the $8 million, Joe Biden used the motive for Joe Biden to disclose classified information, to retain classified information, which he definitely knew was against the law. When you get named special counsel, what's that guy do? He destroys the evidence. That's the key takeaway in my mind. That's the key.
I don't disagree with Jim Jordan at all. Democrats love destroying evidence and documents. Exhibit B, Hillary Clinton, 30-plus thousand emails. You know, I also think I would love to hear the actual audio recordings of all of this, not only with Joe and the ghostwriter, but also with Joe and Robert Hur. It's one thing to see quotes about how diminished he is. I want to just hear how out of it he is, because we're always told behind the scenes, Joe is full of vigor. He's got all this energy, and we got to prepare 2 hours in advance because he's sharp as a tack. Come on. There's nobody buying that. He is completely out of it behind the scenes. What you see on television is clearly a diminished man at his whatever is left of his best abilities, allegedly, possibly on some sort of drug or substance to get him juiced up, so to speak.
I just think Robert Hur is somebody who, and you look at his, I mean, this guy's, you know, resume is so impressive. To me, he is the epitome of professionalism. I think he did what they all should do. And I don't see him as somebody who's weaponized. I see him as somebody who feels like he did his duty. He did his job. He put everything in the report. And I think that Politico is right. Much like, you think of like that Black Widow spider that has the power to bite you and really cause some damage, but that's the one spider that's the least likely to bite you. I would not mess with this. I would not mess with her.
I would not either. Politico also goes on to say, holding back might not be easy, particularly if Democrats are trying to play to their base. Liberal pundits loudly complained about the media coverage of the episode, and it quickly became a truism among professional Democrats that her was a political hack who never should have been trusted with the probe and who was plainly out to hurt Biden in an election year. So Democrats have a choice to make during the hearings and the post fallout. Do they resurrect the hyperventilating onslaught against her to his face, which he will now be able to respond to, or do they try to take the temperature down and perhaps show the public that they aren't secretly worried about their nominee's fitness for a second term? And I think this is the pickle that Democrats are in right now. They can't attack Robert Hur because, as you said, he's very professional. He's buttoned up. Okay, he's a Republican, but there's no evidence that he's like some Trump loyalist or anything like that. They can't trot Joe out. You can't hide Joe. You can't take Joe off prompter. You put him out there on allegedly on medicine. He's like a 15-year-old on speed or a Red Bull and Mountain Dew. He's just boom, 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 you know, yelling, and he's angry, and he's having these fiery speeches. If you put him out there in a debate, he's going to get trounced. There's really no solution for Joe right now when it comes to the Democrats. They're damned if they do. They're damned if they don't. What they have to bank on is feelings, abortion, democracy, and dictator for a day. That's what they have right now. And maybe it's good enough. Maybe it is. But they don't. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place right now. And they're just hoping basically for a rerun episode of 4 years ago.
One more. There's no video on this, too. This is special counsel Hur admitting that Biden was lying when he insisted he did not share the classified information with his ghostwriter. I'm not getting off this ghostwriter, by the way.
Yeah. You'd like the ghostwriter.
February 8th, the White House. Question. Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president. I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And yes, all the stuff that was in my home was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right?
I mean, it's really remarkable to me that if you have these very important documents, that they could just be out there in plain sight. And I'm thinking specifically about that image that's kind of branded to my brain now of Joe with the Corvette in the garage, and you see the box in the background. There's also a report out about Trump with his documents. Somebody that had access to Mar-a-Lago says they were out in plain sight as well. I'm telling you, whether I'm the president and I have the right to take stuff, or if I'm a vice president and I don't have the right, if we're talking about stuff with potentially with North Korea or any other country, I mean, I'm just not leaving. It's amazing the arrogance of politicians in general to just leave stuff like that out in the open. It's like they know they are so far above the law that they can basically get away with murder. So they're careless with it. They're nonchalant. I mean, me, personally, I would have that thing in a safe, and then I would stick it into a bigger safe, and I would lock that safe, and then I'd stick it into a closet, and I would deadbolt it. But that's just me. So, there you go. 855-839-1210.
You're a Capricorn. See, that's what Capricorns do.
That's right.
January birthday people.
January baby, indeed. All right, coming up next, we'll put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour. Joe was fired up last Thursday at the State of the Union, but it didn't resonate and it didn't translate in the polls. The details as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour next here on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, we'll do it live.
Welcome back in, Kale & Company, live on a Wednesday morning. Just about 1 hour away from the cut sheet. That's at 7:45. Tony Bruno at 8:30, live from Florida. So yesterday, and you'll hear this later, either in the first installment or the second installment of the cut sheet, Nick Saban on Capitol Hill with Ted Cruz. So yesterday we had Nick Saban and Ted Cruz in the same conversation, and we have RFK Jr., Aaron Rodgers, and Jesse the Body Ventura in the same conversation. I didn't have this on my 2024 bingo card, folks, and we're not even a quarter of the way through the calendar year yet. It's shaping up to be a hell of a year.
Oh, man.
Good God.
It just proves to me that RFK Jr. is not a serious candidate if he's even considering Aaron Rodgers.
As nothing
against Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure he's a lovely human being. But, like, you want to make a splash, try and get somebody like Tulsi Gabbard as your vice president running mate, somebody with credentials, somebody with, you know, some gravitas.
Yeah.
And let's not try and go the celebrity route, okay?
Okay. That's a very interesting take. Let's actually talk about that right now here for the next 3 or 4 minutes. I was going to save that and get to the polling stuff, but we'll get to the polling stuff after Dawn's news. So you're not interested in either Rodgers or, if you were advising RFK Jr., you're not interested in Rodgers or Jesse Ventura, who used to be the governor of Minnesota, I believe.
No.
Well, he's from Minnesota, but Jesse?
He's the governor. He was the governor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so at least he's got some political pedigree and some chops, whereas Aaron Rodgers, to my knowledge, the only thing that he has in common with RFK is they've both been outspoken against the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, I just don't see this as a serious contender for anything. And in a year where I believe a third party can really make a difference, I think it's going to be this year. Not with either of those picks, they won't.
It would be Phil Omquist is probably having the cold sweats right now as a Jets fan because it's the most Jets thing of all time that they finally get a great quarterback and Aaron Rodgers. Presumably, if RFK tabbed him to be his running mate, not that RFK is going to win, but that would tie up a little bit of Aaron Rodgers' time this summer and this fall as the man who took all of what 4 snaps last year before snapping his Achilles.
To be honest with you, I don't really think that this is a serious consideration. I think it's a way to make headlines.
I think it's all ego and stroking each other.
And I'm hoping that's what it is. But if he does pick one of those two, it's over.
According to the New York Times,
not that it ever started, but
what I mean. Yes, the New York Times with this report yesterday, confirming on Tuesday that the two men, RFK Jr. and Aaron Rodgers, have had conversations, and both Rodgers and Jesse the Body Ventura, the former governor and WWF wrestler from the 80s, are on the list. Mr. Kennedy said that he has been speaking with Aaron Rodgers, quote, pretty continuously for the past month, and that he had been in touch with Mr. Ventura since the former governor introduced him at a campaign event last month in Arizona. Polls show that Kennedy is pulling roughly equal numbers of votes away from both President Biden and Trump, but Democrats are far more worried that Republicans could tilt this closer to Mr. Trump. Now, you mentioned credibility.
Yeah.
They do say in this column that RFK Jr. has spoken to others, which include Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, and also Andrew Yang, the former candidate for president and New York mayor, who was initially linked to being like that independent third party. Mm-hmm. So
popular.
Yeah. But you know what? All right. Tulsi Gabbard, she's got some experience, certainly. Rand Paul, I don't see that happening at all.
Nope.
But
nope.
He certainly has experience. It's not like RFK's just going for celebrity status here. He has spoken to, people with a resume in the political arena.
Jesse Ventura was, what has he been doing? So I was looking him up.
That's a great question.
More recently.
He's
I know he was Reform Party guy, but he was governor like like in 20 years ago or something, right?
He was in office about the same time, roughly, that Schwarzenegger was the governor of California, I think. Late 90s, early 2000s.
He lives in Mexico and does a podcast and TV show on conspiracy theories. So that's what he's up to.
So that's why RFK likes him.
He also has served, I believe, in Vietnam, was on a SEAL team, Navy. So he has the military, he's a military veteran with that background.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking him up. He's in his early 70s. I just don't see Jesse Ventura, but Tulsi Gabbard would be an interesting one. I don't see her going to that.
Yeah, right. I don't see her going to that either, but he should.
She makes the most sense for RFK to me.
He should be courting her.
Yeah.
He should.
In more ways than one.
Everybody loves Tulsi.
Yeah. Although, what's up with the hair? You ever notice that? She got like a little streak there. Is that a style thing or a birthmark?
No, that's like a birthmark thing.
Okay. Because I've seen dudes that have that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Not my favorite look, but you know, you can only do so much. Who am I to throw stones? I don't have hair. 855-839-1210. All right. Coming up next, Yahoo News and a YouGov poll. No bump for Joe. We'll get to that after the news. And then wait till you hear what we have, not only from the world of COVID, but also social media. And we're not talking just about TikTok. We're talking about Trump, and we're also talking about Truth and Rumble. We'll get to that as we continue.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.